chapter 15. 2 weeks ago in our study, we watched as a four-city group state converged upon a five-city state with war on their mind. This was the first account of war recorded in Scripture. We learned that the five cities were subject to the four cities and decided enough was enough, and they said no more will we pay to exist. We watched as the five-city state lost the war and Lot was taken into captivity. We learned that Abraham held three positions during this time of war. He was first a watcher or a spectator until Lot was taken. We then saw Abram, a warrior, united with two other groups as their leader heading into battle. And then we saw Abram, the worshiper, who made God a promise, and he kept his promise once the battle was over. Tonight, we're going to hear Abram ask God some questions. Now, before I read this tonight, let me ask you, have you ever asked God questions? Have you ever found yourself in a place in your life where you didn't have the answers? And you wanted to know the answers, and I'm sure you probably picked up books and you asked your neighbors and your friends and people who were experts in the field of what you had questions about. And when you could not find the answers, you asked God for the answer, right? Now, I don't want you to say anything, but generally when we finally find ourselves asking God the questions, we are in an emotional state that we should never have to get ourselves into. And that's where we find Abram tonight. So let's look at Genesis chapter 15. And I think I've got some more wonderful cities to mutilate as I read through. After these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be great. But Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me since I am childless and the heir to my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram continued, look, you have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house will be my heir. Now the word of the Lord came to him, this one will be your heir instead. The one who comes from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the sky, count the stars. If you were able to count them, then he said unto him, your offspring will be that numerous. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, the Chaldean, and give you this land to promise. But he said, Lord God, how can I know that I will possess it? And he said to him, bring me a three-year-old cow, three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So he brought all these things to him, split them down the middle, and laid all the pieces opposite each other, but he did not cut up the birds. Birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and suddenly a terror, a great darkness, descended on him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, your offspring will be strangers in the land that does not belong to them. They will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. Now, I didn't get into this in my study tonight, but what's he talking about right there? What's God talking to Abram about there? That's right, there's slavery in Egypt. God's telling them about it. However, I will judge the nation they serve, and afterwards they will go out with many possessions. But you will go to your fathers in peace, and be buried at a ripe old age. In the fourth generation, they will return here for the inequality of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set, it was dark. A smoking fire pot and a flaming torch appeared and passed between the divided animals. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, I give this land to your offspring, from the brook of Egypt to the Euphrates River, the land of the Kenites, the Kizianites, the Kadianites, the Hittites, the Pezerites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the promises that you've given us in your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with us tonight. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves as we look at this scripture tonight, because we should be able to see ourselves clearly, God. Abram was born at a different time from us, but Lord, he was human just like us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see his human nature tonight as he asked God these questions. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. What we just read is considered by some scholars, and you might want to write this at the start of chapter 15 so you can remember it. It's considered by some scholars as the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul experience. This is but one of many examples I could give you that this chapter, if read quickly, just to say you read this chapter for a day, you would most likely have missed the entire meaning of the scripture that we're going to be looking at tonight. Because honestly, until I really dug into the commentaries and looked what other guys had to say, I missed it. So what is this dark night of the soul experience? Now, the scholars believe that Abram was having this experience, a dark night of the soul experience. Hey, guys, shh, I can hear you talking. They believe that Abram was having one of these dark night of the soul experiences. His soul was troubled. Anybody ever had their soul troubled? You just felt troubled? Okay. To the best of my ability, I'll try to explain this thought as I have and have read others' thoughts. But I'm quite sure that I'm explaining what this is, many of you will come to understand that you have had a dark night of the soul experience as well. Now, here's the best way I can explain it. Y'all ready? Don't y'all fall asleep. Y'all haven't been here on Sunday night in a long time. You have a feeling of uneasiness. You're restless. You may be spiritually worn and torn. You feel that you know that you're supposed to be doing something, but you just do not know what it is that you're supposed to be doing. You remember that closeness you felt with God in a time past, and you wonder why you feel so far removed from God at the present. Y'all ever felt that before? I'm not done. That there is both a fear and excitement in the room at the same time. You may feel as if there is an uneasy, or there's an easy solution to the feelings you're having, but you have absolutely no idea how to fix your current feelings. You don't know what you're feeling, but you know there's an easy fix to fix how you're feeling, but you don't have a clue as to how to fix them. You're anxious, but you don't know why. You may have just experienced a victory or defeat spiritually, and you're standing at the crossroads, looking down the roads, and have no idea what to do. Any of y'all ever experienced that before? I want to say, listen, if you've been a Christian for any certain period of time, you have had one of these dark night of the soul experiences that we're talking about here tonight. Now, so my question to you is, have any of you ever had what we learned tonight is a dark soul experience before? Now, Pastor, have you ever had one of these experiences? Yes. Just about every time God has wanted me to move in a direction that He desires, every time God has moved me from a different ministry, from one ministry to another, I have had this experience, anxiousness, I mean, I knew something was getting ready to happen. I just didn't know when. I didn't know why. I didn't know where. But just anxiousness about myself. I did not know until this week what it was called, but yes, I have experienced them on occasions and could say that there are certain things that I am dealing with in my life now that would be considered dark night of the soul experiences. We all go through them. When we don't have the answers, and the only person we can go for an answer is God. Now, is this necessarily a bad place to be? No. Honestly, when you have questions that can't be answered and you go to God, that's what God wants you to do, right? It's a shame that we have to find ourselves in these places before we go to God for the answers. Because, you know, God always has the answers. Always has the answers. All we have to do is ask Him. In His time, He'll answer us. Now, how could we know for sure? How can we know for sure if we're experiencing one of these in our lives? The best way for me to explain it is that you have no idea how to fix your problem, but you have full confidence that God can fix it in His time. You know you're going through something. It makes absolutely no sense, but it makes perfect sense. You know that you can't fix it, probably because you have tried to fix it, and then you go to God. And when you go to God, you give it to God, and you know in His perfect timing, He's going to fix it because you can. Anybody got anything like that going on in their lives now? I do. Look, there's some things in my life I just can't fix. You know how I know? Because I've tried to fix them. I've tried logic, I've tried finance, I've tried everything I know to fix the problems that I'm talking about in my life, and I can't fix them. I'm going to tell you, and this is mind-blowing, but neither can she. Sometimes she can fix things that I can't fix, and I can fix things that she can't fix, but neither one of us can fix these problems. You know who can? God. God can. That's exactly right. Now, so what do you do when you realize that, yes, you are experiencing a dark soul experience? What do you do? You wait on God. That's where we as Christians have problems. We are constantly, and I'm guilty of this myself to a certain degree, we are constantly getting ahead of God. And that's when we get ourselves in trouble. Well, you know, the Word of God says, yeah, the Word of God does say that, but God says, wait. Just wait. When we get ahead of God, we get ourselves in trouble. God has a perfect plan for our life, just as He had a perfect plan for Abram's life. But every time Abram got ahead of God, God had to pull the reins back and say, ho, son, I'm in charge here, not you. And we have a hard time understanding that. So we need to wait on God. This is where we find Abram tonight, waiting on God. Tonight, he has just experienced a tremendous physical and spiritual victory. And yet, he has some concerns that only God can help him with. So he is waiting to see God. As he's waiting to see, we see God approaching Abram in verse 1. Now, I told you that I have some issues that I'm waiting for God to resolve. I know what the issues are, and I know exactly how they concern me. And so does Abram. And listen, more importantly, so does God. What we just talked about, what we just read in Genesis chapter 15, the concerns that Abram shared with God, God already knew. Y'all do realize that, right? Why is it? Why is it? And I have to slap myself sometimes, and she constantly has to remind me of this, even though I know this. But listen, why is it that we constantly, find ourselves in this dark soul experience, why do we constantly mourn? Why do we constantly try to fix the problem when we know we can't? Instead of just giving it to God and walking away. I can't answer that. Because more times than often, than not, I'm going to try and fix the problem. And I can't. And Mr. White, even though I know that, I'm going to try to fix the problem. Even though I know I can't. Why is it that we just can't give God the problem and turn around and walk away? I can't answer that either. So what were Abram's concerns? As we understand that Abram was in one of these dark soul experiences, what is it that we saw in Scripture were his concerns? Well, we see in verse 1 that Moses writes, after these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. What events? After what events? The events of chapter 14 where Abram was a watcher, a warrior, and a worshiper. After he had just come through this unbelievable spiritual victory, we see Abram where he is. He had just passed a test and went back home to where he had experienced the fullness of God in the past. Church, what do you do after you have faced both physical and spiritual battles? What we tend to do, now think about it, when we face battles, y'all remember when we got into arguments when we were kids on the playground, or when we got into arguments, or we got into fist fights, and whether we won or lost, we'd go home and we'd relive that fight in our mind over and over and over again. Y'all remember? Or we'd relive that argument. This is what I'd say. I wish I'd have told her this. Well, I wish I'd have told. That's what we do. We tend to analyze every detail over and over. We think of ways we could have and should have done things better. And after we have analyzed that event to near death, we ask ourselves, where's God in my life now? Where's God in my life now? Why don't I feel His presence? You come to realize and crave the presence of God. And this is where we find Abram tonight. He has just gone through a tremendous physical and spiritual battle. He won. He comes back home to the place where he had felt the presence of God. He had experienced the presence of God. And he doesn't feel the presence of God the way he normally has in the past. He craved that presence of God, and he had questions. Now, I want you to understand something. Once you have been in the presence of God, truly in the presence of God, and God breaks you, y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't know where you were when you were broken, but I know where I was when I was broken. And you feel the presence of God so thick in your life, you crave that. You want that. You want that closeness. And this is where we find Abram tonight. The second part of verse 1 tells us that Abram's first concern is tonight, is God tells him, do not be afraid. Did y'all see that? God told Abram, do not be afraid. Now, we do not know for sure what it is that Abram is afraid of, but we can take a good guess with God, what God promised him next by saying, I am your shield. It seems as if Abram was in fear of his life or the lives of those who he was responsible for. Some scholars believe that his fear was correct, as the four kings, remember he was a part of the group that went and overtook the four kings that were overtaking the five cities. He was correct, as the four kings that he had overtaken in chapter 14 could have regrouped and come after him and his family. In this dark place, God is affirming that he would protect Abram. Look, Abram, listen. Before we go any further, I want you to understand. Abram didn't even have time to ask the first question before God assured him. He said, look, you know, I want you to understand something. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be your shield. Well, why would God do that? Because Abram was living and he was in God's will. Do you realize that if you are living for God and in God's will, that God will give you that same protection and that same affirmation? If you're doing what God wants you to do, you're in God's will, and He's going to protect you. He's going to be your shield. Nobody's going to be able to hurt you. Nobody's going to be able to kill you. Well, hold on a second. You saying I'm not going to die? I didn't say that at all. When your time is done, when your mission here on earth is done, when your ministry here on earth is done, then God's going to take you. But while you're serving God, God's going to protect you, and He's going to shield you just as He did Abram. Amen? Now, Abram has a second issue, and it's seen in verses 2 through 6 concerning his heir. Now, this is an age-old thing from every man. I don't think women worry about this as much as men do. But I'll never forget the weighty responsibility that my uncles put on me when I was a young boy. When I was Matthew's age, I remember him talking about it. Really. My dad had he had two sisters and five brothers. I was the only boy. I was the only one to carry on the name. The only boy to carry on the name. All the other cousins were either from, I had two cousins that were boys from his sisters, so they weren't Waddells. But I was the only Waddell boy to carry on the name. I'll never forget my Uncle Jerry Waddell, every time he'd come around, he'd say, "Boy, don't you remember, don't, now listen, you're the only one. You're going to have to find a wife. You're going to have some boys." And when my boys came, he loved my Emily, but when my boys came, good night, he shined. He loved my boys. It was like they were his own. He was always coming up. He came over to my house more than my dad came. But men, we have this, we want to carry on the family. I wish we didn't have to. It would have been all right if we had three girls. It wouldn't have bothered me a bit. Matter of fact, when Kyle Jr. was born, I cried because I wanted another little girl. I really did. But something about men and being heirs. Now, this took on a little different meaning back in this day, because the heir received the land. He received the portion. He received the blessing from God. And you'll see this all throughout the Old Testament, time and time and time again, where the heir received the blessing from the father, the inheritance from the father, and it was just so important that the man had an heir. So we see in verse 2 through 6, Abram discussing this with God. He stated to God that if anything happened to him, the only person who could leave as an heir was a slave who was born in his house. Warren Wiersbe calls this man mentioned in verse 2, Eleazar, the chief of staff in Abram's house. The thought of not having an heir further supports the thought that Abram was in great fear for his life. We hear God through these verses not giving him a time or real time frame as to when he was going to make all of this happen, but we do hear God speaking again to Abram, promising him that it would happen. Abram is promised by God to have so many descendants they would resemble the stars in the sky. Do you know that God has promised us an unbelievable rewards, countless rewards, if we'll just follow Him? Now, how do we know that it's going to happen? Because God promised you. Brother Kyle, when's it going to happen? I need to know. No, you don't. Just know that it's going to happen. Well, how do I know? God promised. God promised those who love Him are going to be rewarded. Do you love Him? Well, yeah, I love God. You're going to be rewarded. Well, how do you know? Because God promised. Well, you keep saying that. That's all you need to know. God promised. Listen, if I promise you something, I hope it means something to you. But when God promises you something, it means everything. Well, how do you know? Because God always fulfills His promises. Man doesn't always. God always fulfills His promises. Then we look at the third concern. The third concern Abram has is seen in verse 7 through 21. The land. The land. God had told Abram in chapter 12, way back in chapter 12, that he was going to receive the promised land. Abram had walked through this land and knew what it looked like and knew what the land's potential was, but he did not know when it would be his. We see in verses 7 through 21, God is reaffirming His promise to Abram concerning this land. Wiersbe says, "The land is an important part of the covenant, for it is in the land of Israel that the divine drama of salvation history was enacted. The land of Israel will also be the final stage for the final act of the drama when the Messiah returns to reign on this earth." God answered all three of his questions. All three of his questions. Did he answer them the way Abram wanted? Well, does God answer your questions the way you want them all the time? No. We have to remember, God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's ways. When will God answer my prayers? In his time. Will he answer them the way I want them to? Probably not. But it's going to benefit you in a greater way. Amen? Now, conclusion. This is what I want you all to see tonight as we finish this lesson. When Abram was concerned about his life, God assured him by saying, I am. That's what he said. He said, I am. When he was concerned about his heir, God said, I will. I will. When he was concerned about his land, God said, I have. He said, I have. He says, I have given. Church, God is ahead of us, working for us. We can't get ahead of God. When we get ahead of God, we get ourselves in trouble. Now, call on him when you find yourself in this dark night of the soul. He will answer you in his time. Now, where we see Abram tonight, church, is a very familiar place. It ought to be familiar with all of us. As we look at Abram, from the time that God has called him, has had to make hard choices, has had to make real life choices. But in all honesty, God has given us this record, this historical record, that our battle shouldn't be as hard as Abram's were. As we look at this historical record of the book of Genesis and we see what's taking place in the life of Abram, Abram is constantly have to make a choice to either walk towards the world or towards God. To live in the world or to live for God. Sometimes he's failed and sometimes he succeeds. Does that sound like us? But for the most part, Abram, thus far in our study, he's finally starting to realize that God's ways are better than the world's ways. I see that, you know, what's taking place with Lot and his family, that didn't have to happen. All he had to do was stay on the path with God, right? Isn't that pretty much the same for us today? Church, God has a plan for each of us. Do you know what that plan is? Hey, listen, that very well might be the dark place of the soul that you're going through tonight. You don't know what it is that God has for you to do. But he has something. If he's called you and you belong to him, he has something for you to do. What do I do? What do I do? Listen, the best thing to do is don't freak out. Do not freak out. Wait on God. God will tell you what to do. I promise you. How do you know, Brother Kyle? I just know. I know. I've experienced it. I know where you are. Wait on God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, thanking you that you've given us a rich history to follow, that we might not be in the total darkness, that we might know where to find you and how to find you. Lord, to know to wait on you, to not get ahead of you. God, you've always been faithful to us. We've not always been that faithful to you, but you've always been faithful to us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now. You'd forgive us of our sins and where we fail you, Lord. And help us, Lord, to draw so close to you that we'd never fail you again. In Jesus' name I do pray. If you're here tonight and you need to just come down and spend some time at the altar, let's all stand with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. If you want to come down and just spend some time with the Lord, the altar's open for you.